Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, and it's the 19th of July, and I'm recording at 10:20 p.m. in what has been swelteringly hot London here, hottest day of the year, too hot for David. Okay, what's going on here in these interesting markets? Well, as I mentioned last night, we've had this good rally following the big Brexit fears sell-off, and it's been pretty much a global rally overall, and it started in late June, and we're now on the fourth week here to the upside, and we've got, we had a lot of shorts back in June. They've all been covered. That's been part of the buying demand. And then we've had new buying come in, and new buying got an additional boost by all of the nervous expansion in liquidity. And that's really been by the ECB and the Bank of Japan. Those have been the biggest participants overall, but China has pumped a huge amount of money in. And really nobody's taking, no central bank that I'm aware of is actually taking money out of the system overall. So we've had these stock markets, a good many of them at any rate, floating gloriously higher above a sea of money. Now, how does that all end? But first, I'd say that the most interesting part to me is that the leaders among developed markets, well, it's Wall Street, and Wall Street has only been bested by New Zealand among the developed economies, I think. If there's another one, well, you'll tell me about it. But very strong action there. And if I concentrate here for a minute on Wall Street, you've got the S&P, the Dow, and the utilities that actually led that move to new all-time highs. So very, very strong. And what I described as the canary in the coal mine, that Russell 2000 index, well, it's not doing badly. It's still in that long, long trading range, just as so many other stock markets around the world are still in these long, long sideways trading ranges here overall. In terms of Wall Street, is there a little warning? Well, perhaps because the transports have not done so well in here overall. And Dow Theory advocates, is anybody else old enough to remember Dow Theory and Dow Theory advocates? Well, the bull side confirmation would be transports moving to new highs to confirm the upside breakout that we've seen by the S&P the Dow Jones Industrial Average. That hasn't happened yet, and transports are not testing the higher side of their range in here just yet. Then we have to remember this is the dog days of summer, and markets, well, it's not the best of times, nor the worst of times overall for stock markets. But a lot of people start to go away, and that reminds me to mention that I will be going off for a family holiday here on this coming Friday. So volume tends to be a little lighter, and you can get some choppy mischief occurring in these markets overall. I wouldn't want to be paying up, I'll put it that way, for things in this environment. Equally, I don't think it's disastrous. I've never thought that it was disastrous. We just get this ranging activity overall, and the recovery that we've seen in commodity shares has been one of the big bullish factors here this year. As a matter of fact, they've been leaders, but they've lost upside momentum now. And crude oil, that's been drifting lower in here again today. The Brent crude is at 46.71. That's down another 25 cents. Not a huge dip, and it's also coming down gradually, but it looks to me like this is a right-hand extension phase in chart terms. In other words, you get that persistent upward trend, and then it loses upside momentum, spills over, and you get a lengthy ranging consolidation phase. My guess is that that's where we are right now. Now, what else might that influence? It could affect the industrial metals overall, where zinc is leading the upside currently, and that's very, very much used in the high-quality steel manufacturing. And there is a little bit of a shortage of zinc overall, but we could easily see a pause in consolidation by a lot of these industrial commodities, and that would increase the possibility that precious metals would also do the same. And if I look at precious metals in here today, well, they're not doing all that badly, down a little bit, but the silver market's just above $20. That's still down almost $7 on the day. And platinum is a little bit lower in here today, but not that much. It's down $3 at 1,098. Gold bullion, it's seen a bit of a pullback in consolidation, but it's steady-ish in here at $1,332 overall. So markets are a bit quiet. The big question mark in my mind is, will we see sort of a reaction generally in stock markets, or will New Zealand and Wall Street, in terms of big influence, continue to push higher on this, what I referred to as this rising sea of liquidity? I think, as a longer-term projection, something that you may remember that I've mentioned over the years, I do feel that once we get beyond the normalization of interest rates, and we're in this brave new world that where zero interest rates prevented us from having a depression, or prevented most markets from, or most economies from having a depression, but we're also in a situation where the banks can't make any money, and where we have minimal growth here overall. My feeling is that it's going to be a little bit choppy. It's going to remain a bit choppy until we do get through a normalization of interest rates. Now, Owen has mentioned in some of his audios that there is the possibility that we could get an overextended big move to the upside by the U.S. market. And neither of us, none of us, want to rationalize chart action. The charts look strong. And as I think I said last week, if you'd returned from Mars or anywhere else where you'd been out of contact with markets and you looked at the chart patterns here overall, you'd say, this is impressive stuff. The bulls are still in charge. And that is the story. But I think if we did get a big shoot to the upside, then it would come down quite hard as we got the normalization of interest rates. In other words, short-term interest rates moving higher. And though the long-term outlook, I think, will be somewhat better for equities. Okay, what else is going on here? Not much in bond markets here. Just a very, very quiet day. Currencies, well, this is interesting, and because some of the U.S. data has looked a little bit better, that's kind of pushed the dollar up, and everybody around the world is repeating that adage about the dollar looking like the best, the U.S. economy looking like the best house on a bad street, and you can see why. The U.S. economy certainly has a lot of advantages. That's helping to keep the dollar strong in here overall. The problem there, as again I mentioned yesterday, is that if we get the dollar, which is currently just above 97 on the dollar index, above 97, that's 3 points away from that psychological 100 level. If we get a decisive break above 100, that would certainly increase anytime soon. If that were to happen, that would increase the risk of a recession in the U.S., and then we would certainly see some more stock market turbulence, and including that S&P coming back down below that 2000 level. So keep an eye on that dollar. It's very, very important. Among other currencies, sterling is just sort of ranging quietly here, a little above the 130 level. I think it'll probably stay here, ranging for a while overall. But I think people have been too pessimistic about UK economic prospects. We'll have a duff second quarter because of total focus on the Brexit activity and uncertainty created by that. That spills over into the third quarter. By the fourth quarter, I expect the UK economy to be improving and possibly quite possibly surprising on the upside. There's a lot of enthusiasm, we've got a competitive currency, and we will almost certainly get some tax cuts. Despite all the uncertainty out there, I don't think the UK is a problem. I think actually the UK will do very well as a good friend of Europe, and a global trading partner for all thriving economies. So that's what it will want to do, and I think it can achieve that. Europe, more question marks, more uncertainty, and you've got the worrying, alarming underperformance of the southern European economies, and you have a little bit of tension here with some of the eastern European economies, which are not at all sure they want to go ahead with the great European superstate project. So there's a lot there to be of concern. We still have the rather low GDP levels, and there's no public support, no widespread public support for this federal European project overall. And anything else of significance to mention here? I think those are the highlights here. I don't want to run on too long. So I'll say just all the very best to all of you.